Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode is our 121st episode extravaganza. We're very excited to have Pablo Francisco here. Very fun. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering. It's Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sapori Rochester. Also, Three Heads Brewing are the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now here's your host. He's Rochester's cuddliest comedian. You want to hug him, but you can't. And his wife won't. It's Vinny Paulino.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. We're so glad to have you hanging out with us here today. Joining me on the couch is our guest. He's a comedian. He's an impersonator. You're not an impersonator. You're an impressionist.
Yeah, something
and an
like
actor.
That. Yeah, yeah. Who works out? Yeah.
Well, I feel like an impersonator is someone who like makes a living pretending to be somebody else. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you get those transsexual kind of girls or whatever. They, you know, play like, you know, Britney Spears is actually a guy playing Britney Spears, but no, not me.
Right. Know. And like the guys who pretend to be Elvis.
Yeah.
Like they're actually pretending to be Elvis.
Yes. Yeah. Those kind of guys. But no, I guess I do like impersonator. I guess. Yeah. Or. I don't know, masturbator or, you know, generator, who knows? It could be anything, you know, it could be Arnold Schwarzenegger. It could be racist, could be the N-word, but not that. But, you know, there you go.
So I have to ask you this. How hard is it when you do impressions to go do radio interviews? Do you feel like everybody is just waiting
the
impression?
I don't mind at all, man. I just want to hopefully I can nail it right on the head when I get it. You know, I want to make sure it sounds just like the impersonator, the impersonator that I'm doing. But, right now I'm working on Vin Diesel, and that's kind of hard because he's like,
right,
Sylvester's little, hey, get a Corona. But it's like, it has to be a little bit more airy, you know,
right,
hey, get a Corona. So I can't really say too many sentences like him.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about this, is like the amount of time that it takes to perfect an impression,
right,
combined to how often you use it on the stage,
right,
and how much of the, like, you maybe do one line from somebody,
right? Yeah, it's like basically Chris Rock, you know, that took me like 4 weeks to get down. And I, you know, like, what's the deal, Jennifer Lopez? And that's all I can do. But maybe I could do a little bit more if I have him, like, you know, getting really pissed off. What's the deal, you go out and gambling and spending all your money?
Okay, this is the stuff I wonder about whenever I see an impressionist.
Right.
This is what I gotta ask.
Right.
You say Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
How many times did you say other things before you settled on the thing that sounds like him the most is if I say Jennifer Lopez?
Oh, I had this guy call my house, and the first thing he said was, Jennifer Lopez! So I said, I'm going to stick with Jennifer Lopez. If I try to say, Audie Lane! I can't do that one.
Right.
So I was going, Jennifer Lopez! Like he's trying to pick up on her. I want to see that booty from Jennifer Lopez! So I take his Jennifer Lopez and then try to switch it in, you know, take the inflection, make it a little bit different, and then come out with their own thing. You know, put your like friend's name in it. What's the deal with Alfred? Taking money. I don't understand. That kind of thing.
It's pretty spot on.
All and right, thank man.
You know that, but it's still wild to watch. Like when you're sitting here in person, it's really crazy to hear someone else's voice come out of somebody else's face.
Well, you know, it is kind of, just want to tell everybody, I've had three teeth taken out because I'm getting some implants. So if I look like Gary Busey, hey, how are you? So that's what, I don't want to look
Don't try to wrestle me.
I'm going to bite you. But sometimes the air goes through there. So like, hey, how are you doing?
What's the deal? No tooth, Gary Busey.
Okay. I got to slow down because you're going to kill me today.
Okay,
I love it, though. I love
right
it.
Right on, right on.
I love it. You have more energy than anybody else who's ever walked in here. And your act in general
right.
is so high, is just so high energy.
It's a little bit of ADD, EFG, HIJK, LMNOP. I mean, I get excited because people come to the shows, but I do get exhausted. I mean, after the show, I'm like just, you know, pouring sweat. But I don't know. I just see people, you got to relax, take a breath. But I'm like, you know, I just want to, sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to forget my bits. Even though
right,
I do
right.
a lot, so I want to just get them out before I forget them. It's a weird thing. I mean, maybe I should read more books or something. But
isn't it a weird transition right now, like to get back on stage after everybody had like such a like a long pause?
Oh yeah, I know. And I try to do it like at other comedy clubs, but they had like that streaming thing, that little stream thing that
yeah.
they do. There'd be like two cameramen, and that's it. So you have to bring a friend to go. Ha ha.
So we have a thing called the Carlson Comedy Network where we produce shows all the way through this. But here's
right.
the thing. We didn't do stand-up. Even though we're a comedy club,
right.
we produced bands, we produced all sorts of different stuff just to kind of create content. Because
right.
I think stand-up without an audience is not fun to watch.
Yeah, it really isn't. You know, those people, they go to a drive, they get those old drive-in movie lots, you know, and then people have to honk their horns and laugh. It's like, I don't get that. But
we did that. That worked out well.
Oh, it did?
That worked great. Wow. But I'm saying, like, if we had a room, if we just, like, put a camera in front of the stage in the empty showroom, you had to perform to the camera with no audience there, that's not fun for you, and it's definitely not fun for whoever's watching.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You probably have it be like 2010. Hi, Pablo. Yes, that was a funny joke. Keep on going. A little lens looking at you. Okay, I don't get that, but
there's quite a bit of chant just looking to your phone to see people are commenting.
That was funny, Pablo. Okay, well, another joke. Yes, Pablo, don't go outside. You're going to be looking at that hole going, what's the deal with that?
You got to start doing crowd work off of just the profile pictures.
Just like,
look at Jerry. His wife looks lovely.
Yeah. Is that the boom mic? Yeah, bring him on in. And you, all right, get the microphone, hit that button. All right.
So how long was it before, how long of a break did you have there? Before
I had 3 months off.
Three months, just like the rest of the world.
Yeah, it was, I get my friends in the living room once in a while, try out jokes, but not in front of like a real crowd. That was difficult. So I mean, last night was fun, but it was like, man, I couldn't. Like, sometimes the crowds are like 10 feet away. So you try to do your act and they're like real far. And, but this one was actually good. I mean, there was, even though the tables were spread out, we still got good response. So.
Well, the crowd loved you last night. I was at the show last night, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, right on, man.
I'm going to tell you something. This is honestly a true statement. I don't go see a lot of comics on Thursday night.
Oh, all right, cool.
But I wanted to come see your act because I've never seen you in person, but I've watched your specials.
Well, thanks,
I've known about you for a very, very long time, and I've always been a fan of what you do.
Thanks, brother.
And you do it at a very high level.
Yeah, I was just, I had to put things on my hand, you know, but I was looking at my notes. But I was trying to do some new stuff in there, and I had to pull out some old stuff just to get the gears, you know, nice and wet. But it worked out.
Sure. I would say, you know, you looked pretty polished.
Didn't
notice any rust.
Oh, so, right on. No rust. All right. Good deal.
I got to ask you, though, like, your style in general is very disjointed. I feel like, in a way, it's kind of like watching Family Guy live.
Right.
am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, no. Actually, it has its pieces, my act does. You know, it's just sometimes the segues are a little bit different. But it's a fast paced, but it's sarcastic. Not, you know, you shouldn't be taking it too seriously. But I like it, you know, have some kind of truth to it. But does it have a storyboard? Kinda. You know, it all depends when if I make that up in my mind. So,
but that's the thing. The storyboard is your mind. The storyboard can be whatever you want to. There's no rules as to what you are allowed to say during your set.
Yeah, it's just segueing it. How to connect that, okay, Bruce Jenner jokes into vibrator jokes and something like that. But, you know, that could be a problem.
Okay. So this is what I want to know. You started off in improv, right?
Yes, I did.
And you started off very young. You're about 17. Is that accurate?
Yeah, about 17 years old, yes.
And so when you start off in improv and then you go to stand up,
right?
I personally think that that's more of a recipe for success than people who go from stand up to improv.
Stand up to improv. I went from, I started doing like open mics like in Tucson, Arizona, right? Uh-huh, and then there was an improv like 100 miles away. So I would go there, but I would just prepare for the 6 minutes they wanted and then just talk to the staff, you know, and talk to the managers and just be friends with them and see what they wanted and just have a place to stay. And I had a friend of mine who lived right across the street, and I just go to his house, let me spend the night, and I just volunteer my time and just get in there. And then it's better to go to improv and then in the show business, let's put it that way. I mean, it was a great stepping stone,
right?
Because I didn't have to go to too many auditions. I would just have to basically go in an audition, go use my voices. I go, church's chicken, it's good for you. And they go, okay, wow. You don't even have to say what's on the script.
That's so good. And I'm hungry now.
And I'm
it's
hungry.
Amazing.
You know, you take a script that they have for a commercial and just change it up. Go, hey, is it okay if I do Arnold Schwarzenegger? Oh, my God, he does Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, okay. And then they kind of switch it up and, you know, you just ask the people when you owe an audition, hey, can I change it up? Can I do it my way? And if they say yes, then you do it. And if they say no, then try to sneak it in there anyway. Go, okay, then I guess I'll just go. That
so
kind of thing.
17 on stage for the first time, though. What was your set like at 17? Like, what did you prepare? Like, what did you even come out with?
I go, is it just me or does Casey Kasem always play a lot of commercials before he does his hits. Like, hi, I'm Casey Kasem. And before you hear this hit song, here's a stupid-ass, stupid-damn commercial. That kind of thing. But
You were doing impressions, obviously, before you got on stage and decided that was going to be your persona going into it.
Oh, yeah. And I had, like, did you know they have G.I. Joe with no penis? It's called G.I. Don't Know. Something like that. It was, like, stupid jokes like
that.
But, and well, so the jokes. Yeah, I use Casey Kasem a lot. And I would do... with the super friends having sex. I go, what happens if Batman walks in or Robin walks in on Batman? Holy bat butt cheeks, Batman! That kind of stuff. You know, so it was kind of juvenile, but it was still fun at the same time, you know?
Well, that's a great way to describe your act, is fun.
Because
it really is. Like, you know, a lot of people think that stand-up always has to be about, like, that uber intellectual stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, let's just let it go and let loose. And by the time you're done being on stage, you're sweating. The audience is sweating because they're laughing.
Yeah, it's I agree with that, because sometimes people come on racism and stuff. I go, just make fun of everybody else. You know, maybe mess around with Mexicans, you know, they like it a lot. But you know, but sometimes I just get that one person going, you know what, you're really funny, but you talked about Asians. I go, you know what, my friend is Asian. He told me that joke. That's how we get out of it.
But, yeah, I gotta ask though. Like, do you feel the tide turning on being able to do that type of material?
Absolutely. I mean, look. I just think that anything person does on stage, they can bring a unicycle guitar. I don't care, as long as they make people laugh. I mean, I'll talk about Corona and I'll talk about Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. But you know,
sure.
You know, you can also talk about I'm related to all the people because I went to ancestry.com.
Right. Let me ask you this question.
Right.
When you do an impression of a person who's of a different race than you, like for example, like Jimmy Kimmel's situation where he was doing Carl Malone and people got upset at him 20 years later.
Oh, wow.
He was doing Carl Malone on The Man Show.
Really?
All the time. He was like, I'm Carl Malone. And he would do the voice and he would do full blackface as Carl Malone.
Oh, wow.
And he would do the voice and it would be like these little commercials and things, and people found those clips and they're very upset at Jimmy Kimmel.
Really?
So yes. Wow. So my question is, when you do an impression of a certain person who's like a different skin tone than you,
or like a Farrakhan, that sounds so good in a movie voice. Farrakhan's coming to your town. Yes, you know, I'm Farrakhan, and I just want to let you know, get out of my place, Farrakhan. You know, I would do that in front of black people; they would love it. So,
right. But the question is, these days, it's just weird. Like, where is the balance, you think? Is the balance that you could do an impression of someone and the way they speak? Like, you came and you sat down and you did a perfect Chris Rock imitation.
Right.
And it sounds exactly like him.
Yeah, I would say if you had to color your face up and, you know, wear, you know, big nostrils or something like that. I don't know. Or, like, whiten your teeth or something. Maybe that would be. Unless you're like Gary Busey. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. That's a different thing. Because he's white. I'm white.
It's a callback.
Yeah, there you go. It's a callback. Yeah. So, I would say it's definitely like how you would present it.
The material's got to be there too.
Yeah, it has to be there and it has to be tasteful. So, yeah. You know, where are the meats? Yeah, that's a brother talking about roast beef at Arby's. Right. But, you know, you can't say, where are the meats, honky? Then that would be kind of racist. So,
right.
There you go. Yeah.
Interesting. I really wanted your take on that.
Yeah. Was that a good take? Was it a good answer?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean,
screw it, Dan. I'll do what I want. Yeah, Riggs, put it in your mouth. That's you know, Danny Glover.
Danny Glover.
Yeah, Riggs. I mean, that's all I can say. Or you just do what the Mel Gibson, hey, come on, Raj, you do okay? Get out of my face. Yeah.
I need a new Lethal Weapon.
Part four. You know?
You've described yourself and you've been described as a universal comic. What do you mean by that?
You know, basically, like when I went to Sweden and I went to Europe, you know, a lot of people, it was basically my physical stuff that really got me through it, you know, the sound effects and stuff, because they didn't really have our commercials. I usually make fun of our commercials and stuff like that. That's here in the United States, like ShamWow or Billy Mays, you know, those kind of things. So when I would go over there, they wouldn't know what it was. So I would basically have to take one of their products and try to watch their commercials and try to, put it with the material that I had here for the United States. So when I saw Universal, basically it's, either way, if you don't understand English, I'm still going to make you laugh somehow. You know, if you watch me a little bit, but maybe that's a crappy example. But
that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you about is like, because when you do perform in a place like Europe, the culture's different.
Yeah, it is different. But when you go there, you look at, okay, what do they listen? They all listen to hip hop. They have the same music you hear on Kiss FM. They like that kind of music. And I go, now in most countries, I would say all of them, English is mandatory. So a lot of, and they have Subway sandwich everywhere. So if they have a Subway sandwich everywhere, they'll probably understand about what you're going to talk about.
Fair enough.
Right. So it's now you go to Sweden. I went to Germany. I've been to Poland, and now English is their first language. So now it's like, all right, now I can just loosen up and get a little crazy. I don't talk too much about politics because that's just a big vicious circle. So.
Yeah, and I mean politics overseas.
Yeah, I mean you can do a Trump. Hell right, you're huge, and then well, boo, and then yeah. Yeah, don't do it in Africa.
How long have you been doing a Trump imitation, just out of curiosity?
My friend Steve Kramer showed me, but I'm usually on stage with, hello, yes, okay, everything's huge. That's all I can do. Huge, shut up, and Bernie Sanders looks like a baby bird. That's it. Ouch.
So, hold on. You just started doing it like 2016-ish, kind of? You didn't have one before? Like Trump wasn't somebody who was in the repertoire?
Yeah, I just, threw him out because, everybody's doing them. You have Alec Baldwin doing it. You got every comic, yes, okay. But after a while, you just want to pull it out. You just need to say it once in a while and just do a little Trump here and there. Just Trump around. Just Trump around. Trump down, then Trump around. Be huge.
I got to say, that one's not bad either. That's pretty good.
Well, I've been working on it, but not really working on it, but just like off the cuff come out,
Yeah, that I could see that being a good one just to pop in there. Just
trying to get it down, similar,
But. Has there ever been one that you worked really, really, really hard on and then just have never done?
Okay, Christopher Walken. I know a lot of comedians do Christopher Walken, yeah. But I just can't do. I cannot do him for some reason.
You're selling Count Dracula.
Yeah, yeah, it's like one.
The count,
one crack rock. Two crack rocks. No.
Are you ready for my dancing?
Yes, the dancing. Come here. Yes, come to me. Yeah, I never knew Christopher Walken, but I can do like a Dennis Hopper talking to Christopher Walken. Come on, man. Somewhere, your great-grandmother. Ow, you hurt my arm, man. That kind of thing. So I can do a Christopher Walken.
I've never met anyone who does a Dennis Hopper before, so bravo to you. There you go, thank you. Hats off.
Dennis Hopper, man, huh? If you weren't there, you weren't there. If you were there, you're there. I don't know, man. Crazy.
That's a deep cut, man.
Right on, man.
That is a deep cut. So
I like that deep cut.
It is a deep cut. I mean, I didn't think I'd be talking about Dennis Hopper this morning, but here we are.
Here we are, man.
This is the kind of craziness that happens when you go see Pablo Francisco.
It's just nuts, man. A little bit of Keanu. Don't go under 55. Can't do 55. Sorry, right? John Wick is back. One in the head. Wait, two in the chest. One in the head. Aren't they dead when you get them in the chest, but you have to hit them in the head? One in the head, two in the chest. Ooh, coming to a theater near you. Wait, hold on. You can't go because of Convict 19. Okay, gotta go to the theater.
Boy, that guy's career is weird now, isn't it? People adore him so much right now.
Yeah, he's so nice. He gives millions of dollars to people on the bus. My friend's working on the set of, Kill Bill? Not Kill Bill, it was called
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Journey. He goes, it's kind of funny. He goes, my friend tells me because he works craft service there. He goes, after he's done filming, he gets with all his stuntmen and he just works out all day, just headlocks and all kinds of twists and turns. I go, wouldn't he be doing that for John Wick? He goes, yeah, he's working on both movies. So it's kind of weird you see him like turn into that character for.
And then he's like doing ninja stuff.
Yeah, doing ninja stuff and putting people in head.
Over headlocks. By the picnic tables.
Yeah, man. He'll put you in a headlock and then we'll go, so I don't know, man. Weird transition.
I have a weird transition question for you, and I feel like I'd be kind of an idiot if I didn't ask this because it's one of the most fascinating things in comedy. And what I guess, if they ever make like a Dark Side of the Ring for stand-up, I'm sure that this will probably be brought up.
Right.
Back in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. you toured with Carlos Mencia and Freddie Soda.
Right.
That didn't end well.
It ended well for me. It ended great. I mean. Me and Carlos, they got some other people to do the Three Amigos, but I learned a lot from Carlos on that tour. I learned how to do business better. I was keeping an eye on him to see if he was doing other people's material, which he didn't do. I would see him in his room writing all the time with a big notepad. Unfortunately, we lost Freddie Soto. That sucked. We kind of died off. His budget ended. He wanted to put two other guys on there, and it ended up being like four other people. Mm-hmm. But to tell you the truth, man, if it wasn't for that tour, man, I mean, it really taught me a lot. Everything about how to you know, deal with people and, you know, just watching how people try to stab each other in the back. And but he's a very honest guy, and I had so much fun with him. We hung out for like 36 months. Wait, out of 36 months, we hung out maybe 30 months out of that. So
wow.
I learned a lot from him. He's a really funny guy. And,
yeah, I'm not asking you to badmouth anybody. Oh, but no. I guess my question is, from everything that I've heard, mm-hmm. Freddie was not really happy with Carlos at the end.
Well, I think, to tell you the truth, it's just sometimes like Carlos would give him some crap sometimes because, sometimes Freddie wanted more money sometimes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And sometimes when we did this movie with Miramax, you know, Carlos would make sure that that he had like different, you know, I think it was the money aspect of it, the whole thing that really happened. Because, okay. But other than that, there was a guy that was touring with us, but he wouldn't go on stage with us. He would just try to do guest spots once in a while. And him and Freddie didn't get along too well because they were taking each other's jokes. And when it came down to it, yeah, and then Freddie got a movie with Adam Sandler called Spanglish. Yep. That was the name of the movie. And Freddie started going, you know what, I'm gonna start doing movies now. So his direction went a little bit different. Yeah. Carlos wanted him to come through the whole tour, and he started doing movies. So Carlos got a little, you're probably upset about that.
So what we've learned here, folks, is that not all rumors are true.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we've also learned that most things are about money.
Oh, yeah, yes, it is. Most definitely. Yes, you know. And it was funny because Carlos goes, why aren't you selling merchandise? And Freddie's like, hey, man, you know, do I? And I go, yes, and I'm selling my merchandise. And he goes, oh, Freddie goes, I don't want to take away from your money away from you. And he goes, you want to do it at my table, right? And Freddie would stay on the side. But we'd go, come on, Freddie, take advantage of it because everyone's going to Carlos.
Yeah.
You know, so I would take advantage. I would have Carlos's guy sell my merchandise,
right,
and make money. But Freddie would be in the corner. No, I'm not going to do that. But if he'd be selling like one out of, you know, 20 people coming in.
He's just over there with his Spanglish DVDs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Spanglish.
He's got Spanglish.
I'll sign that. Yeah, okay. These are, yeah, I made copies of these. But so I think it was that kind of, there was a little bit of ego there. But Carlos would always put him to the test, you know, go a little longer, do some more dying. So write some more stuff. And Carlos, but Freddie, I tell you what, when it came down to the movie, when the movie came out, The Three Amigos, yeah. Freddie got all the time. Carlos gave him like a bunch of time. And it worked out good. It was a good movie. So I'm happy for it. And all the time I turn on the movie, I just watch Freddie's set because it's so funny. It's hilarious.
Yeah, there's going to be like a behind the music about Carlos one day.
Yeah.
And there's like two different, completely different schools, man. You hear people who worked with him have nothing but good things to say.
Right.
And people on the peripheral are the ones that are very, very upset.
Yeah, everyone thinks that he's taking everyone's material. And they show like an example. They show like they go, here's Carlos doing Bill Cosby's bit, right? And I watched it and I go, okay. The thing is that when comics do like an HBO special or half hour special, yeah, they do two shows of the same material.
I would have just been like, well, here's the difference. Did Carlos drug anybody before he did the show? Was Carlos, have anyone passed out in his green room?
Have a little drink of this, okay? He was stupid. That's what I was saying. He was stupid. He could be in a blues band. When I saw you at the bar, I knew you were for me. But liquor, bumper sticker. Okay, that's my boy Carlos in the blues band. But when you do a special, you're doing the same show, right?
Right.
For two different audiences. So in between, people ask for requests. And someone mentioned like a Bill Cosby thing, right? And he did a Bill Cosby bit. And then someone, I guess the editors, when they were putting the show together, they put that in his special when he was just messing around with the audience. And that kind of looks like he's hacking Bill. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Not 100%.
Right, right.
Like, it would seem to me that, like, not for nothing, I don't want to be a cover comic.
No, you're
like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like, right. If somebody said to me, hey, do Bill Cosby himself, I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
I'm
right.
Like, no, why would you ask me to do that?
Right, he should have done it as a Bill Cosby voice. But it's kind of strange that it was hard to believe. I go, what, they took his messing around time and accidentally edited into his final show. But one time I was at,
but are you telling me that he didn't watch his final show before they released it?
Let me tell you something. I was walking in my agency one time, and they were editing my special, right? And they put the wrong stuff in there that when I was messing around. I go, no, don't do that. So I just caught him at that time doing it. And they go, what? Okay. I go, you're supposed to have me moonwalking.
But don't they? But don't they show it to you before they release it?
You know, they finalize it thinking that, hey, we can do this, right? And then they'll show it to you. Then you have to spend money to change it. And I guess that, I'm just saying maybe that leaked in with his, but
okay.
Although with mine, I was able to catch it. I go, no, don't put that piece in there.
Okay. Okay.
So that's all I'm saying. But other than that,
I say my superheroes of comedy are probably Joe Rogan. He's rocking.
Yeah.
And actually, Carlos is up there. I like Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And I like, who's this one girl out there I've been seeing?
You might want to move that mic just a little bit closer.
Yeah, there we go. Who else
maybe
do I
not
like?
Not that close, but yeah, there
you go.
Does
one, two?
Yeah.
Who else do I like? I like Kathy Griffin. I like her a lot. She's hilarious.
She had a rough year, too, didn't she?
She did, but she's always been funny. All the time I look at her, you know, YouTubes and stuff, I laugh my ass off. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go back in time and check it out.
So you're not going to be, you learned a lesson there. You're not going to be posing with the heads of any politicians?
Yeah, no, I'm not. You know, Trump, you know, Trump's hilarious, but we'll see what happens. Joe Biden and all that. I can't do Joe Biden unless he's like this. Can't do him.
You know who he reminds me of? That Blue Eagle from the Muppets. You know what I'm talking about?
It's time to get things started. I see a little man. No, that's hilarious.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's just who I picture. I just see that Blue Eagle. Like, That's all.
Just an observation.
Just an observation. So let me ask you this. What's your favorite impression to do? What's like the one you like doing the most?
The one I like, I know it sounds, it's an old one, but Michael J. Fox. I love doing Michael J. Come on, guys. Come on, Doc. We got to. And for some reason, I just like doing Michael J. Fox.
I never realized how close Michael J. Fox spoke to like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Like, I think there's some similarities in their cadences.
You know, like Scoob. Oh, yeah. So the Casey Kasem meets Michael J. Fox, Scooby-Doo. Oh, that's funny. They'll be like, Doc, we got to get back there. But can we get something to eat? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they both traveled in cars that smoke came out of when you opened the doors.
Right. And they're all, Scooby-Doos. Well, that'd be Johnny Quest because they go in the jungles and pick up drugs. Then they fly out and they have Scooby-Doo. Yeah, but then you can have Michael J. Fox go back in the future, pick up some good dope, give it off to Tony Montana. Says, you know, turn the Shaggy like a Tony Montana meets a screw you, huh, Doc?
Do you ever worry that one day they're just going to lock you up somewhere and just not know what they're going to do with you? Just doing voices.
How can we pay this guy? All right. I'm a little off, but it's okay.
But aren't we all, though?
Yeah, in a good way.
It's the weirdest thing with comedy when it comes to impressions is... What's funny about a voice is the joke. Is the voice itself funny or is the joke the funny part? Because so many people rely on just the voice being the punchline that it just kind of ruins it.
Yeah, I would say like Rodney Dangerfield said to, I think his name, Robert Wool, he said, he goes, you know, don't do an impersonation of me unless you have a joke. And don't use any of my jokes if you do an impersonation of me. So I was like going, if I will do George Carlin, we have to come up with my own George Carlin joke. So I go, a can. Why do they call it a can when it can't do nothing? They should call it a can't. So, yeah. I don't know. If you got the joke.
And that actually, that's...
Yeah, it's a beginning. It's off to something, but if I keep on working on it.
That's almost, in my opinion, like the perfect type of impression. Because not only is it, like you're doing something about someone, but you're becoming that someone and thinking like someone to actually go for the joke.
Right.
That, to me, is not intellectually lazy.
Yeah, it's you got to think
there's
of
some
their
work there.
Yeah, you want to impress them by showing like he's passed away, but you want to show that you're writing your own jokes for that person. So why do they call it a can when it can't do nothing? They should call it a can't.
Exactly.
Right. So,
I love it.
Yeah. Try to keep it, you know, genuine, I guess.
So two more shows this weekend here at the Carlson.
Yes, sir.
You were incredibly generous with your time this morning.
Thanks.
It was
a lot,
my
buddy.
Absolute pleasure having you on, and I hope to see you again soon.
Right on, buddy.
But folks, get your tickets to see Pablo. You're not going to regret it.
Right on.
CarlsonComedy.com or 585-4-COMEDY. Hey, Joe, before we get out of here, let's tell everybody about the shows we have upcoming, and hopefully we'll see you at a show soon, everybody.
Thank you for watching. Thanks, buddy.
All right, folks, it wouldn't be an episode of the Carlson Cast if I didn't tell you about our upcoming schedule here at the club. This week we had Abby Feldman here July 8th, and as you know, there's two more shows coming up tonight and tomorrow with Pablo Francisco. But next week, a good friend of ours returns. Earl David Reed will be here July 16th through the 18th. Mateo Lane will be here July 23rd through the 25th. Anthony Rodia will be here August 31st through July 1st. Rob Schneider will be here August 6th through the 8th. Preacher Lawson will be here August 13th through the 14th. Michelle Wolf returns August 21st and 22nd. Rachel Feinstein, August 27th through the 29th. Jessica Kirsten will be here September 10th through the 12th.
Michael Rapaport will be here September 17th through the 19th. And two nights only, Tom Green and Harlan Williams together, September 25th and 26th. The Sklar Brothers will be back October 16th through the 17th. And lucky us, Mike Dambra will be here for Halloween, October 29th through the 31st. Ryan Nymiller will be here November 5th through the 7th. Jay Moore, the Slam Man, will be here November 12th through the 14th. Pauly Shore, November 15th, one night only. Adam Ray will be here November 19th through the 21st. And Pete Corelli will be here December 3rd through the 5th. That's a pretty good schedule from now to the end of the year. But if you want to get your tickets now, it's not a bad idea. Visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 5854-COMEDY.